The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from midday with Gordon Brown, Andy Holding and Stephen Powell in the studio. Good day to look forward to as well with jumping from Cheltenham, Doncaster and Bangor on Friday afternoon and the usual all-weather fair at Wolverhampton and Dundalk in the evening. The first day of the international meeting at Cheltenham to boot. And joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
Very good afternoon to you, Mark. I'm absolutely... fabulous, darling, and looking forward to some wonderful racing once again at Cheltenham this weekend, and obviously Donny and wherever else they might be having some excellence fair on.
Yeah, it's good, and this two-day meeting at Cheltenham, good chance to see how the champion hurdle picture could shape up a little bit differently as well, the new one in action. He takes on Vanateur by the looks of things. Nicky Henson's still got him in the race, and it's priced up as a bit of a match between the two. 8-15 for the new one, Vanateur 2-1. Sign of a victory is another Henderson horse in there at fives at the moment, but I don't think he'll run because I think they're aiming him at the Ladbroke the week after.
Right, okay.
And then it's 10-1 barring those.
Well, you got to say you were very impressive, wasn't you, the new one at Haydock last time out. Everybody has reservations regarding his jumping. He slightly went right-handed a little bit at Haydock, didn't he? But really and truly, your man Twiston Davis oozed confidence on him, didn't he? Never panicked one little bit, gave him a shake of the reins, and it was all over by the shouting. If he travels as sweetly as he did at Cheltenham at the weekend as he did at Haydock, to be perfectly honest, I think he's different gravy.
OK, so 8-15... fairly attractive price.
Yeah, it wouldn't put me off backing him, that's for sure, at that price. I think he'll harden on the day. The Henderson horse, to be fair, Garrity went round the inside at most of that meeting, didn't he, last time out? Whether it made the difference between winning and losing, I'm not quite so sure. But really and truly, on official ratings, he's got to up his game, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And I find that difficult to think that he can do, really. I don't think he's maybe got that much progression in him. Ground will suit him better, officially good at Cheltenham at this, as we speak. So providing they don't get too much rain, it's going to remain roundabout good, which definitely will suit him, I think, better than it did that last time. But to be fair, the new one for me should do like he did at Haydock and pick up a nice prize without really knowing he's been to the races.
OK. Yeah, at the moment the ground is good. They are expecting rain from what I understand, because apparently we're in the middle of a weather bomb. Have you ever heard that before?
I've heard of a sex bomb, but never a weather bomb. No. It's all interesting. Certainly, they're trying to hype it up as something drastic.
Yeah.
Certainly here on the east side of the country, we didn't get it quite so bad yesterday, as they kept saying, did they? I think it's... a little bit scaremongering. Since the days of Mr. Fish, who got it sadly wrong,
they
seem to have covered all angles and made them as difficult and as possible that they are horrendous going to happen. And then when it doesn't happen, everybody goes, we got away with it.
Yeah. Ah, good. The other big race at Cheltenham on Saturday, one of the other big races, is the Caspian Caviar Gold Cup. Cadabalay heads the market for that, 3-1 at the moment. 6-1 for Barrakilla. No but 7s, 9-1 for At a Glance. Eric'd his 10s. Nice Run Frankie, 12-1. 14-1 for Dana. Splash of Ginger and Workbench. And then 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. It would be quite a story, wouldn't it, if Cadabalay were to follow up in this. He'd be the first horse since Exotic Dancer in 2006 to do the pre-Christmas handicap double at Cheltenham, if you like. So, do you think he's capable? He's only £5 higher here.
Yeah, I think the handicap has been fairly kind to him with him, just giving him £5. I mean, it was a tremendous performance by him in the Paddy Power, to be fair. The thing about this guy is he's only five, so there could be lots more to come from him. That experience under his belt, jumping against all those seasoned handicappers, will have done him the world of good as well. And he does seem to have a very progressive profile, doesn't he? Twiston Davis gave him a peach of a ride there last time out, so he'll know him even better this time. And I'm not so sure this is as competitive as the Paddy Power, to be perfectly honest. I know there's one or two nice horses in there, but, I mean, for me, this doesn't look quite as... competitive, and I think, you know, he's a worthy favourite, and he's definitely the one they've all got to beat. And as you say, Exotic Dancer was a very, very good horse in his own right. Used to carry the colours of Sir Robert Ogden, if my memory serves me right, trained by John Joe.
Yep.
And he was a very high-profile horse. So, yeah, if this horse can do those two big race victories in prior to the Christmas period, then he's a fair horse, that's for sure. But I do think he's very progressive.
OK. Just playing devil's advocate slightly, Pimmy.
Go on.
The race, the Paddy Power Gold Cup, wasn't run at an intense gallop, was it? It was a bit of a crawl, and then they quickened, and they all finished on top of each other.
Yeah.
Could... if you look at it from that respect, I suppose you couldn't really put him up too much more than £5 anyway, could he?
Well, he couldn't, but you've still got to work on what he beat and what was all around him and everything else like that. There were quality horses behind him on that day, weren't there? And I think if after the race you said to Paul Nicholls, well, actually, he's going to put you at £5, I think he'd say, I'll take that, thank you very much, because I think that's fairly lenient.
Yeah,
yeah, I do.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, yeah, John Spirit's rated 156, who finished second. So if he's running off 148 here and he beat him, he looks all right. Yeah.
He does. I think he's well handicapped still, this fella. Caspian Caviar, though, what's that all about? Have you ever had? I've had caviar, but I'm not sure about Caspian Caviar.
No,
what's that?
I don't know. It's a bit top end for me. Caviar, really. I'm more of a sausage roll kind of man.
Well, looking at your tummy, you're not far
wrong. I knew you'd go there, yeah.
You're not far wrong, exactly. Yeah, sausage roll and a Cornish pasty or two. Happy days.
Thanks, mate.
Not a problem.
Let's have a look. Caspian Caviar, let's see what comes up. Caspian Caviar, suppliers of the finest caviar and gourmet foods to the great and the good.
Oh, there you go, then. That's why you haven't had it.
Yeah, exactly.
And by the same token, neither have I.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But anyway, Caspian Caviar, maybe the winner takes home a great big jar of it.
Maybe. Ooh, so, yeah.
Happy days, wouldn't it? Yeah, happy days.
Well, there you go. You learn something new, don't you?
Of course you do. Hey, every day's a school day at William Hill.
It is.
And every day's a school day.
And we've got a good day to come up on Friday, and we'll learn what Pimmy's selections are next.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we're going to look at three races on the card at Cheltenham on Friday, starting in the 210, which is the Major Domo Hospitality Handicap Chase, a Grade 3 contest over 3.25 miles, and quite an interesting race. You've got Hadrian's Approach making his reappearance, last seen winning what was the Whitbread at Sandown at the back end of last year. You've got Samstown and Charingworth and the old lad coming into this in fine winning form, others in form as well, Pimmy. It's an open race.
Well, it's a smashing race, real good race indeed. And, you know, 3 mile 2 is going to be a real test of stamina. You'd think Hadrian's Approach might just be needing this run, might not be his target, if you know what I mean. There might be bigger fish to try and catch later on in the season. But certainly his win at Sandown at the back end of last season was a very good performance. He stayed on really well. This trip will be ideal for him, but I would more than likely think that, as I say, this might just be a stepping stone for him tomorrow afternoon. But certainly, you know, a very progressive type horse, and again, he's only 7. Plenty of time for that fella to peak. Samstown, he's been cracking form, hasn't he, for Alistair Willans. Brian Hughes takes the mount there tomorrow afternoon. He beat last summer when we last saw him at Kelso. Thought that was a fairly good performance. Again, he'll like this trip. He stays really well. And again, 10 stone 9 is a nice weight for him. Charingworth's another one that's interesting. Admittedly, he's one of the elder statesmen of the race at the age of 11. But he's been in great form. Was a good second. And then last time out here at Cheltenham, he won an amateur rider's handicap when he beat Ben's by 3.5 lengths. That was, again, a good performance. Harry Bennister, very capable amateur rider. He takes a valuable 5 off his back. He's definitely a player tomorrow afternoon as well, Charlingford. And the other one I thought was the old lad who has a £5 penalty, but Tom George and Paddy Brennan can just do absolutely nothing wrong at the moment. And again, he comes into the equation off his featherweight of 10 stone. So competitive fare for that 2:10 race at Cheltenham. But the selection is going to be Samstown.
Okay, Sam's down for Pimmy in the 2:10. Just incidentally, I think that race has gone up by 0.5 furlong. In the past, it's normally the extended 3 miles and 1 furlong, or 1.5 furlong. 3.25 miles on Friday. So.
Well, maybe they've measured it since. Yeah. That's what they've done. They've maybe measured it and thought, ooh, we'll make it 3 mile 2.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah. The 2:40 at Cheltenham is the Glanfarclas cross-country handicap chase. It's a Class 2 event over 3 miles and 7 furlongs. And we've got the usual performers in this type of race, the likes of Big Shoe and Uncle Junior, Any Currency and so on, Pimmy. What do you make of this race?
Again, it's different to the Paddy Power meeting this cross-country race because that was off levels. This is a handicap, so it springs a few more into it,
yeah.
I feel. Yeah, Big Shoes, interesting again. He was over the cross-country course at Punchestown last time we saw him when he's beaten 8 lengths behind Love Rory. But that was a good performance, and it shows he does like this type of event. Paul Carberry on board, no finer man to have on your side as well. So he's certainly a player. Uncle Junior, he was second last time behind Balthazar King. He more than likely had a difficult task that day, to be perfectly honest. And now this is a handicap, despite him being a 13-year-old, certainly will be in the mix for the Mullins combination. And the other one I thought was interesting was Quantitative Easing. Is that how we pronounce it?
Quantitative Easing, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one. He's got pieces on for the first time. He used to be trained by Jonjo, if my memory serves me right. He's now gone to the king of... Nicky Henderson, was it?
Yeah.
Well, he's now gone to the king of cross-country trainers. That's in the shape of Ender Bolger. He's definitely got ability, this fella, but he's definitely possibly fallen out of love with the job. I'm just thinking he'll have been schooled loads and loads by Ender in his Irish base, and I think he just might... run a big race at a big price, this fella. Just looking for something that might re-spark his enthusiasm. Because, as I say, he has plenty of ability, the boy. And if the pieces work, the Oracle, and, as I say, the twists and the turns and the different types of jumps, just might suit him. I think looking for value, and I bet he's a double-figure price easy, he could be the one to have a little look at.
OK, so is that what you do, take a bit of chance with him?
I'd take a chance with him, and if, obviously... Hobbs and Johnson, they've got a great record with Balthazar King round here. Duke of Lucca, he could be interesting as well. Again, he's a fairly decent horse. He ran a listed handicap chase last time out. Again, he might just be buoyed by the different type of obstacles and the twists and turns. So those are my two I'd take against the field, trying to go away from the tried and tested cross-country horses.
Okay. The final race we're going to look at is the 3:15 at Cheltenham. This is a Class 2 handicap hurdle over 3 miles. It's for 4-year-olds and older. And similar story. Some nice horses in here, Pimmy. Some that could go on to bigger and better things. Some nice horses have won this in the past, the likes of At Fisher's Cross and Sunny Hill Boy won it last year. Anything in there of that calibre this year, do you think?
I think it's a smashing race. There's plenty, very competitive. 10 runners are going to head down to post. And, yeah, there's some really interesting ones. I mean... Pecamecho, is that the right one?
Pecamecho.
That must be a paper, is it?
It is. I think it's named after the Pecamecho.
It could well be, yeah. Yeah, all that. Read all about it.
Yeah.
Well, again, he ran well last time out when he finished fourth behind Medinas. But that was a much better race than this. He's got the burden of top weight as well, so it's not going to be easy for him, running off a mark of 145. Ultana's Raid, he was in good form with himself, the Alan King horse. Wayne Hutchinson takes the mount off him. King also represented by Fighter Jet, which we presume would be second string with Aidan Coleman getting the leg up on that one. And the one I think is interesting, though, is Big Easy. Won the Cesarewitch, didn't he, for the Hobbs Yard. He's not quite got his head in front the last couple of times we've seen him over hurdles, but he did run a cracker in defeat last time out when he was second of 16 at Haydock over the same trip as tomorrow, 3 miles. And I just think that there could be a little bit more to come from him. And the big thing is Hobbs, Johnson can do no wrong, can they? Oh, blimey. If they ran the stable cat, it would win, wouldn't it?
It would.
So they're in great form. And I think this fella has knocked on the door. And I think the door just might open for him tomorrow in what is a very competitive race. But it's going to be Big Easy for me.
OK, Big Easy for Pimmy in that one. Let's have a quick summary then, Pimmers, if you'll spin us through your three selections for Friday at Cheltenham one more time.
Yeah, well, looking forward to all the action this weekend. But starting in that 2:10 race, the handicap chase over 3 miles 2, I'm going to go with the Northern Challenger, Samstown. Certainly, we do need a little bit of Northern success up and down the country, and it might just ease the issues that we've got regarding the Northern jumping scene. In the cross-country handicap chase, run up 2:40, I'm going to take a little bit of value here in the shape of number 5, Quantity for Easing, and also number 6, Duke of Lucca. And in the 3:15, the handicap hurdle run over 3 miles, going to take a chance with the Philip Hobbs-Richard Johnson combination in the shape of Big Easy.
Good work. Thank you very much, Pimmy. Good luck and enjoy it on Friday. So there you go, the thoughts of Chris Pimlott on Friday's action. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from midday with Gordon Brown, Andy Holding and Stephen Powell in the studio. We have this meeting at Cheltenham, day one of the international meeting. We also have Doncaster and Bangor over the obstacles on Friday afternoon, and Wolverhampton and Dundalk on their respective all-weather surfaces in the evening. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.